And as you just may have heard me say, the Omaha Symphony has its new music symposium concert tonight at 7 p.m. at the Kaneko. Food and drinks are served at 6:30. And for tickets and other information, you may contact the Omaha Symphony at omahasymphony.org. Tickets also are available at the door. My special guest this morning is composer William Bolcom, who is a multiple Grammy winner of various kinds of music, but who has been steering the ship, as it were, through this particular three-day workshop and will be one of the performers on tonight's workshop. Very prominently, I might add. William Bolcom, thanks so much for coming by this morning.
My pleasure.
There are four young composers in these four people. I will just mention their names: Joshua Hay of Rochester, New York; Adam Vidixis of Wilmington, Delaware; Roger Zier of Ann Arbor, Michigan; and Natalie Williams of Bloomington, Indiana. Now, they were selected through a sort of a juried or elimination process. They have been participating in a workshop with you now for several days. What kinds of things are you seeing musically from these folks?
Well, for one thing, it's a very varied type of stylistic palette. When I was their age, in their 20s, I think there was a terrific amount of conformism among what was considered new music, and I remember sometimes going to concerts in which you weren't quite sure when one piece ended and the next one began. But you won't have that trouble tonight if you come to the concert at all. They're very, very different, and they're all extremely well put together. They're extremely well-schooled composers, each one. And the whole business of how we picked out the whole thing was that the conductors and the people at the Omaha Symphony, one of whom actually studied with me a little bit, Ernest Richardson, they came down for, I don't know how many people were actually submitting scores, but out of them came, I believe, 10. They were sent to me. And I looked at them, and I figured that there were four, I thought, that were of the best quality.
And you don't know the names of these people?
No, I'm giving a four-digit number. That's it. No, it's very important that that all be kept secret. One of the reasons is that you don't want to have any kind of favoritism. It just so happens that one of them, who was one of the very better ones, I thought, was a student at the University of Michigan, which is where I was teaching up until 2008. I was there for 35 years on the composition faculty. Actually, was chairman for 5 years, and they're all excellent. And anyway, but the point was, I don't think that they would want to have had that. Not that I would have used it as anything to be prejudicial, but you want to be absolutely certain that there's a flat, you know, level playing field for everybody.
So tonight will be the debut of these four new pieces of music that you've helped these folks actually.
Yeah, I think one of them actually had her piece read at Bloomington at the University there of Indiana. But other ones, I think it may be the first time around. And so the whole thing that we've been doing, myself and Tom Wilkins and Ernest Richardson, was to help these composers fine-tune mostly the orchestration and things like that. Certain compositional things here and there we felt might help them a bit, but most of it was a question of orchestration. In many cases, they won't have had an awful lot of experience with an orchestra, and the tendency among younger composers is usually to put in too much. And so I think we've all been basically pruning away a certain amount of orchestrational shrubbery to make the thing come out better, and that's really what we were doing. And they were very open in most cases. Well, actually, I think pretty much everybody was very much toward helping the thing sound. And then what I'm amazed at is the whole way the thing has been handled here at this. There are two orchestras now that are doing this for composers here and in Minnesota with the Minnesota Orchestra, in which the whole lab process starts out. You have a reading of what's there, and then I had a round table with the four of them and Ernest and I think Tom was there too, and we all sat down at a round table, and we. What I wanted to have, not just one-on-one, because many places you have a one-on-one kind of time, but you really want to have a chance for the others to learn from the other composers. So we did spend a couple of hours just going through everything and talking about why this might work, everybody looking at everybody else's scores and so on. So that's one thing we did. And then that kind of things worked out. Then, which is the great luxury, you have a wonderful librarian, Jessica, who then was able to refit the parts for the orchestra and get the scores so they would be closer to what we all had come out to find would be a more optimum kind of orchestrational thing. We had another reading last night, and at that point, either Tom or Ernest would stop, ask the composer, this is what you want, and so on and so forth. They would even fix right on the spot. There might be a bit of that today at dress rehearsal still. And so we had this terrific amount of input from everybody on all sides, and everybody, I think, must feel that they've been well served. I've been just amazed. I wish 50 years ago, when I was their age, I would have had the same kind of luxury to be able to work in this kind of lab way, but I think it's absolutely marvelous.
In the last century, music changed very substantially with Stravinsky, Schoenberg, and a number of other composers.
Sure.
And that kind of music, those kind of dramatic changes, found their way into mainstream musical settings.
Sure, and also other things as well as jazz. I mean, you know, I'm sure that somebody like Gil Evans listened an awful lot to what was happening, and so to speak, and Pete Rugolo and those people were the real pathfinders in the time when I was young. And there's been quite a bit of, or Anthony Braxton, who involves with improvisational techniques, so there's plenty of interface, I think. I found that to be true. Cecil Taylor is a perfect case of what you might consider very avant-garde music. And these are going people, so I think that the walls between the kinds of musics are sort of breaking down.
And television and film, obviously, has made a big difference to that.
Oh, sure. I mean, one of my very closest friends, we're both 74, and Paul Chihara is now the film music department at UCLA, and people come in from all walks of musical life to work with him, and he's one of the most open people there ever was, and it's wonderful to see now all these things coming together, because people can use all of this, what I have to say, musical vocabulary as a resource for whatever you need to have. There's no walls so much. I mean, this is this bunch, this is that. I think it's one of the great things that's broken down. When I was their age, there was a great deal more conformism, and I'm so glad to see that broken down. I'm so glad you'll get four very different kinds of pieces tonight.
You've composed a number of different types of music, and I want to talk about one of those, prefacing it by saying that you'll be joined tonight on stage by your wife, mezzo-soprano Joan Morris, with whom you've performed
40 years
substantially,
now.
Yes,
yep. Next
and
year.
Recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And you have specialized in songs of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, parlor songs.
Oh, yes, all the way up through cabaret songs these days.
What kind of, what is it that interests you most about that kind of material?
Well, my wife Joan is really a trained actress who became a singer, so her interest is essentially as much in the words as in the music. She has a wonderful voice, but the point was that she wasn't a singer first. She was an actress who sings. In fact, she's right now working on a book which I think may be titled An Actress Who Sings, because her whole attitude was really for the very best lyrics. And I think that's one of the things, when we go through all the material, she really does look at the word content as much as anything else. And so we come up to something that will be both top quality words and music. And we were very lucky to have worked with a number of people. Among them were living writers like my dear friends, Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. We've been friends for 50 years. Jerry just died this last year, and we did an album of their works, not just their rock and roll hits, but also the things that they did about the time of Peggy Lee and some of their other kind of cabaret things. So we've worked on all kinds of material. We've done recent cabaret. We've done all the way up through the 40s and some of the 50s. But, I mean, most of the things we've done we really started out doing 20s and 30s.
My guest today has been William Bolcom, master composer and performer tonight with the New Music Symposium concert put on by the Omaha Symphony Orchestra. That is at the Kaneko, 1111 Jones Street. There's more information available at omahasymphony.org. It begins at 7 p.m. Food and drinks are served at 6:30. There are complimentary hors d'oeuvres and refreshments. It's an informal setting with an 80-minute concert presented without intermission, also featuring Thomas Wilkins and Ernest Richardson conducting, and four symposium composers who've been workshopping new pieces to be debuted for the most part tonight, beginning at 7. Again, more information at omahasymphony.org. For events calendar, I'm Michael Lyne. William Bolcom, again, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.